So tonight, we're continuing with Mike Finley. As you can see, his groupies are wherever. So, and he just got here. So we were going to delay, but we don't have to any longer. So
thank you.
Okay. It's all yours now.
So forgive me for having me. I appreciate your patience with me tonight. It's funny, how appropriate to be doing this while I'm about to start talking about the fear inventory. Had some information, brought upon some financial stuff. Then, of course, I get involved in a story where now there's a resentment involved. Not sure exactly where I'm going. And then all of a sudden my GPS goes out. And fear is up, you know, I'm going to be late. Fear, what do you think of me? You know, I'm going to be horrible tonight at this gig. You know, then I got some delusion of power that someone's not going to get well or whatever. You know, so crazy. So, you know, there's all these lies that we tell ourselves. So thank you. It's good to be here. It's good to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous where sacred things happen, where good things happen, where broken people like me find a relationship with a power. Because after my GPS goes out and I have no power, I'm not sure how to get over here, all the things I kept saying, you know, was lack of power is my dilemma. Dear God, please remove my fear and point me in the direction of what you'd have me be, quite literally, because I don't know where I'm going. And I just kept driving straight and eventually found something familiar. So thank you, God, for that. I do want to say another prayer. Since we'll probably talk a little bit about the fourth column of the resentment inventory before we talk about fear. Dear God, please help us to remember that when someone offends us or we think they have offended us, please help us to remember that they may be spiritually sick just like us. Please help us to be kind, loving, caring, and giving, for we would not treat a sick person any other way. God, save us from being angry. Thy will, not our will, be done. Dear God, please remove whatever is blocking me from these people. Dear God, please remove whatever is blocking these people from me. And most importantly, dear God, please remove whatever is blocking us from you so we can have an open heart, an open mind, and a new experience with these things here today. Thank you, God, for courage, strength, and direction. Amen.
Amen.
So we left off. We were talking about inventory, and we were talking about the third column, right? We were talking about what this affects in us. I don't know if you remember, we were talking about, you know, my old friend Jeff. But, you know, we had kind of spoken about the mechanics a little bit, right? You know, this is the person I'm angry at. This is the reason why I'm angry. These are the things that affect me. My pride, self-esteem, ambition, security, sex relations, and personal relations. If at any point in time I'm aware of a fear that comes up with that, like so, for example, I'm mad at Jeff. Why? He moved when I was 4. You know, this affects my pride, right? Self-esteem, ambition, security, and then I write fear, right? Because I need to be accepted to be okay, mm-hmm. right? I need your approval to be okay. And so I tell myself, you know, some of these other stories, it may affect my personal relationships, fear, because I'm never going to have a real friend, right? He forgot me when we were 10. No one really is going to love me. Jeff is just an example of all of you people who really don't care about me or don't really like me or accept me for who I am. Fear. Personal relations, fear. Frankly, I could, just the way I am, I have hundreds of fears that I could probably find a fear for each one of them. But, you know, as we're doing it and as we go about it, when I'm aware of a fear, I write it down. Fear. Right? So, on page 67, just a little recap of that, right? Page 65. Right? We're writing down, you know, pride, self-esteem, pocketbook, ambitions, personal relations, sex relations, security are either threatened, hurt, or interfered with, right? All right, it says, we went back through our lives, right? Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. Hey guys, that's the only thing that counts. Thoroughness and honesty. Right? Don't worry about it if you have the mechanics of it done like me. Don't worry about it if your sponsor has you writing, you know, an extended third column on one side and flipping it on the other side. You know, don't worry about if, one guy calls it turnarounds and someone else calls it fourth column. Don't worry about if someone else has a fifth column. Right? The thing that matters here, this is the only thing that counts here, is being thorough and honest. Right? And first of all, who are we thorough? Who are we honest to? Me, ourselves, right? We're honest with ourselves, right? This is our inventory. This is the key to my future. This is the roadmap for my success, right? So, the plans for the rest of my life. So, I need to be honest with myself if I'm going to have a good, solid roadmap for the rest of my life on how to go and how to behave and things like that, right? So, I need to be thorough, right? You know, really do some digging. Take some time. You know, sit in prayer. You know, be thorough about this stuff. You know, if you find yourself where your ego is getting involved when trying to write your inventory, stop, splash some water on your face, say a prayer, go back to it. Right? Make sure on the top of your page, what was told to me, make sure it's on top of your page, a little prayer. Thank you, God, for the power to be searching, fearless, and moral. Please help me see the truth. God, please help me. Right? Maybe another point in this point in time, you may write something like, God, this is a sick person like myself. Please help me, show me how I can be helpful. God, save me from being angry. Those are all things that I've written on the tops of different pages while writing inventory. Okay? So, it says here, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. Okay. So, this idea of writing down the seven areas of self is something that I do carefully, right? I take some time with this. It's not just like, oh, check, 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 this, dump, boom, let me just write it down for the sake of writing something down. Like, how's this affecting my pride? Where do I see this affecting my pride? Where do I see this affecting my self-esteem, right? I gave some examples with Jeff, right? Another resentment for me is, the state of New Jersey. Why? Because I got moved from Brooklyn to Middletown, right? New Jersey. So I spent the rest of my life hating New Jersey, right? And, you know, affects my personal relationships because most of the people are in New Jersey that are around me, right? You know, my self-esteem because you don't like me because you're from Jersey. I'm from another planet, right? You guys dress different. You part your hair different. You talk different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, your prejudices are different, you know? Right? And this is the wisdom of a 5-year-old. I already got all this stuff figured out when I come in here. You know what I mean? That's the truth. I do. I definitely have it figured out. And if somebody else has a problem with New Jersey or whatever, you know, like if you've got a problem with New York, now I'm fighting with you. Now I'm talking about like having, you know, rumbles in the third grade and all this other stuff because this is the craziness that goes on in my head. So, can't stand New Jersey. Why? You know, it's not New York. You know? It affects my personal relations, sure, you know. My pride, yeah, no one should see me as a loser, as a guy who doesn't fit in, as a guy who doesn't make it, you know, a guy who can't, fit in, right? My sex relations, sure. All the women are from New Jersey, too, right? That's got a whole thing, right? You got to get with me, you know, you got to understand, you know, you have to understand the gutter and the grit and all this other stuff that I got in my head that makes it and consists of who I am. Right? What do I need to be okay? Well, obviously, I need to live in Brooklyn to be okay. I can't live anywhere else and be okay. Right? Ambition. What are my goals? What are my dreams? What do I want? You know, well, my ambition is, you know, I guess somehow, you know what? My ambition is to be one of those dudes on a stoop with a 24, a Budweiser, you know, with the Yankee game on, you know, shooting the breeze with the guy next door, smoking cigarettes, and everyone thinking I'm cool and I'm tough. That's my ambition. You know, I want to be like my cousin. You know, I want to be like those guys on the corner. You know, I want to be a real New Yorker, right? And I want you to see me and think of me like that. You know, yeah, affects my ambition, right? You know, my ambition is to be Clint Eastwood. You know, I want to be tough, no nonsense, make that thing with my eyes, you get scared. You know what I mean? Say some cool, tough stuff. You're not going to mess with me, right? Pride, self-esteem, ambition, security, right? So I consider them carefully, right? At some points in time with different exercises I've done, I've written out very specific long sentences how each of these things are affected, right? And the you know, how I see them being affected. Some people call it an extended third column. Either way, it's telling me to carefully take some time and take a look at this. Because these things, the pride, the self-esteem, the ambition, the security, the seven areas of self, right? These are good things, right? These are very good things. There's nothing wrong with pride or personal relations. There's nothing wrong with sex relations. There's nothing wrong with security and ambitions and goals and all these other things. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that these are all the things that I've given away, right? These are God's things. These came to me through God. These came to me at birth. I was born with, you know, with a proper sense of esteem. But I gave her the power. I gave that kid, Jeff, the power. I gave the state of New Jersey the power over my sex relations, over my personal relationships, over my pride and my security and my ambitions and all this other stuff. I gave it away all through my life. I'm just giving it away. Think about that. Mm-hmm. The insanity, right? Okay, mom, dad, all this other stuff, but I'm letting the Boston Red Sox screw with my ambition. Right, I have to write about the New York Knicks and the way they're managing the team and the guy that plays and Stephon Marbury and the guy chokes his coach and all this other craziness. This is affecting my sex relations. When you think about that, this is the power. These are the things that I give away to other people. These are the things that I get back through inventory. These are the things that I get back through a fifth step. These are the things that I get back knocking on doors, making amends. These are the things that I get back sitting down with another gentleman or lady and pass this experience on to them, right? These are the things that I get back. I get to get them back. I get to have a relationship with a healthy self-esteem and a healthy sense of security and all these other things. These are things that I've been giving away. How sick. How sick I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, now, fourth column, because I got to get quick. I got to catch up here. So, well, 66, what happens there? Okay, so we turned back the list, right? And for it holds the key to the future. We talked about that. Am I prepared to look at it from a different angle? Okay, that's a question. Am I prepared to look at it from a different angle? They put it in a different way. They said we are prepared to look at it from a different, entirely different angle. Why is that? Why is it that I'm prepared to look at it from a different angle? Well, one reason is I've seen the ghost of alcoholism future, right? Right? Death, institutions, right? Holes in the walls, you know, cuffs. I've actually lived some of it. I see where it's going, right? I have a firm understanding that I am the real alcoholic, right? I have the mental obsession. I have the physical allergy. I have the spiritual sickness. I'm prepared to take a look at the possibility of this is going down. But also, I've had actually the opportunity to look at these things carefully. I had the opportunity to now, in black and white, write down, I'm mad at this one, I'm mad at this one. And these are all the reasons why I can't stand you. And this is what I'm giving away. If I'm looking at it carefully, if I am being thorough and honest, and I am looking at it carefully, then I am prepared to take a look at it from another angle. Because I don't want it anymore. I'm starting to get to the point where, you know, this is killing me. You know, yeah, I'm prepared to look at it from another angle. You know, I got myself into Alcoholics Anonymous. You didn't. My mother didn't. You know, that kid Jeff didn't. The state of New Jersey didn't. State of New Jersey may have recommended it a couple times, but they didn't. They didn't give it to them. You know what I mean? You know. Mm-hmm. So, I'm prepared to take a look at it from another angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. Do I believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. And here's another thing, right? Oh, here. Yeah. So what are they talking about now? They're talking about power. They're talking about power again. Right? Isn't it up on the wall in the first? They don't... Why are we talking about this again? Now they're telling me that these resentments dominate me. Right? In that state, the wrongdoing of others, imagined or real, had the power to actually kill me. How could I escape? Do I believe that I can escape these resentments? And can I see that these resentments, or have I seen that these resentments must be mastered? How? I could not wish them away any more than alcohol. So now they're telling me, not only are you powerless, Finley, over alcohol, you're powerless over your resentments. Right? For me in this journey going through is really the realization of all of the things that I am powerless over. And the truth of the matter is I'm powerless over everything. I'm powerless over sin, defects of character, lust, pride. I'm powerless over what you think of me, how you're going to behave, being late. I'm powerless over it all.
It's okay.
You know? I'm powerless over my fears. Right? It's telling me, now here's another situation to consider, the situation of power. Because it says, I can't wish them away any more than alcohol. Or to ask yourself, is that your experience? Can you wish your, you know, can you be pissed off at mom one day and then wake up and be cool? Okay, maybe you can. For me, it's not that way. Right? I can't wish them away. I can act cool. I can change my attitude. I can have a couple of drinks and make it go away for a little while. I can not talk to you for a little bit. I can tell everybody else what a crazy person you are, and that may make me feel better. That I may maybe get a gang of people, you know, groupies together with torches and start hating you out now, right? Because now, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter is it still has power over me. I'm powerless over resentments. I'm prepared to take a look at this from another angle. Page 67. A little bit further down the road, two paragraphs, I guess, in. Referring to our list again. Okay, referring to our list again. The list of people that we're annoyed at, why we're mad at them, and these things that are effects. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Okay, this is cool. This is cool because of my experience was my sponsor had me do this. Write down why you're annoyed. Then he had me do this. Tell me why you're angry. Then he had me do this. Tell me what, you know, this affects in you. Right? It made it a lot easier once I got all that crap out of my head and all of those feelings out on paper and all this other stuff to actually put out of my mind the wrongs that they had done, because it's already on black and white paper. I don't need to tell that story over and over again, right? Now he's just saying, now I'm just going to let you, I want you to just focus on what you did, right? Where had you been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? That's it. Just got to answer those questions. Where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? If your sponsor's got some different working definitions, he's probably right. And he's doing a good job. These are just some working definitions that I work with for now. Selfishness is the things that I want. What do I want? Right? I want everybody to think I'm great. I want everybody to think I'm smart. I want the girls to think I'm funny. I want them to say that I'm a good lover. Right? I want my team to win all the time. I want, you know, the teams from other cities to lose all the time. Right? This is what I want, right? This is where I'm selfish. I want this, I want that, I want this, they deserve this, I got to get this, right? Self-seeking is the things that I do to get what I want. So if I want you to think I'm cool and tough or whatever, I'm going to gossip to this one and this one and this one about what a jerk you are. Or I'm gonna, or if I want you to, want you to believe that I'm tough, I'm gonna start calling you names down the road. Hey, you, whatever, you're not gonna mess with me. I'm crazy, dude. I wait till you see the stuff. That's just the ways I behaved, right? I would yell at you, make you think I'm gonna do all sorts of crazy, sick things to you, because the truth of the matter is I'm afraid of having a fight, right? So what am I gonna do? I'm gonna out yell you. I'm gonna out talk you, right? I may remind you I'm from Flatbush, right? Again, 5 years old, but this is the stuff that goes on in my head. Right? If I tell you, oh, now these Jersey, Middletown, suburban kids, they're going to be scared of that Brooklyn sound. You're going to live up all that stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I spent all my weekends in Brooklyn. I spent all my summers in Brooklyn. We went back and forth like that. So it was a part of me. But still, the truth of the matter is I went through K through 12 in Middletown, New Jersey. Uh-huh. Right? But I want you to be convinced like I've got this other thing going. So the self-seeking are the things that I do to get what I want. It could be a lie. It could be making some promises, right? Usually with women, I do everything I can to make you think and believe we're getting married. I do everything. I even think it in my head. Right? We're getting married. Don't you touch another guy. This, that, and the other thing. I'm telling you things. You better not tell anybody else. This is between us. I want to have this. I try to get these heavy, deep things, relationships going on. And then I get that commitment. Right? I get that commitment from you. I get all of the milk and the honey or whatever that comes with it. Right? And then I don't make the commitment. Then I never ask you. I was in 3 5 to 7 year relationships. Right? Playing house, making, driving the kid to school for you, picking up the groceries, doing all that type of stuff, making the bed, all of those things. Playing house, but did not make the commitment. Right? Would string you along. Or I would tell you, this ain't going anywhere. This relationship's not going anywhere. Right? I'm not going to get married to you. But if you want to hang out and play house, I'm going to behave like I'm your husband and kick your, and if you do something wrong or whatever, I'm going to yell, I'm going to scream, I'm going to shout, how dare you, all this other stuff. I'm going to lay possessions on you and all these other crazy things. Right? So, self-seeking. What do I do to get the things that I want? Right? Dishonesty. Okay? There's the lies I tell, right? That seems kind of obvious, right? The lies I tell, one is that I'm more sexually experienced, that I'm more worldly, that I'm more tough, that I'm more cool, right? These are the lies I tell people, right? I try to come off as a certain way so that you... will think I'm tough or cool or funny or romantic or sexy or sexually experienced or good lover or whatever. I chalk up a good game, right? Those are some lies, right? They're the outward lies. Oh, I where were you last night? Those lies, right? The lies, what did you do yesterday? Where did you come from? Who were you with? Who were you hanging out with? How much did you have to drink? All of that obvious dishonesty. But then there's the lies I tell myself, right? With this poor kid Jeff, right? The lie is, he did it on purpose. The lie is he thought I was a dork. The lie is he wasn't really my friend. Right? Delusions. The stories I tell myself. Right? These are other forms of dishonesty. Right? Selfish, self-seeking, dishonest. Oh, and then the other dishonesty is the lies of omission. What I have done and what I had failed to do. So, what did I not tell you? Okay? Yeah, I was out with Mike last night. I didn't tell you there was 3 other girls with us. I didn't tell you that we were at the bar and then went to the hotel that's connected to the dive bar that I hung out in. Mike Jones. I didn't tell you that I was at the hotel room. I didn't tell you about the powders and the pipes and these other things that were involved. I was just like, oh, yeah, I was out with Mike. Yeah, it was great. How's he doing? Oh, well, depending on who I'm talking about, I'm going to taper that conversation. If it's the mom and dad, right? If it's the dad, I'm going to say, oh, well, we spent all night. We were talking about politics and that gosh darn president and what's going on with the Congress, whatever, because he's going to eat that stuff up, right? You know, maybe if I'm talking to, you know, the guys, well, then I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, and she was in this position and all, whatever, and she couldn't get enough of me, and I had to pull her away. You know, Mike had to pull her away from me because she was so crazy. Like, these are the things I'm going to do. Depending on who's getting the version of Mike and I were out last night, everyone's going to get a different version of what happened. And chances are what happened is I got drunk.
Right.
You know what I mean? Chances are what happened was is, you know, somebody was holding something and I said, okay, let's go buy a room. You know what I mean? Chances are that's how it goes. But depending on who's hearing the story, if mom's hearing the story, oh, you know,
right.
You know, I was a gentleman and, you know, all these other things, whatever she wants to hear. Or, you know, I was in at 11. I was in my bed. I came in at that time. You heard me. I said hello to you. I said goodnight to you. What are you talking about? I didn't come in until 4 in the morning. Like, you know, whoever's getting the story of I was out with Mike last night, whatever. What I have done, what I have failed to do, what lies am I not saying? What lies am I keeping? You know, and my story is often about never giving anybody the full truth about anything. So that's dishonesty. Right, that's what they're meaning. Where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Mm-hmm. Frightened. Just any fears that come to mind with this. If I had written, you know, security, fear, you know, fear of not being loved, fear of not being liked for who I am, whatever. But any other fear, you know, afraid she was going to tell my mother, you know, afraid my credit card bill was going to get you know denied or whatever, you know. Afraid of getting punished, fear of getting in trouble, fear of the cops, whatever. You know, whatever the fear particular is with this particular thing that I'm aware of. And always with prayer. Always with prayer. I will say this. If you say the prayer, God, thank you for the power to be searching, fearless, and moral. Dear God, please help me see the truth. If you say things like this, and then something like, comes up like, oh, you know, you try to show off and be a macho guy, and you go to yourself, well, no, you really didn't do that. That's your ego trying to write the inventory. You have to trust those first instincts to come out and let them come out. And trust me, trust God working through your sponsor that when you get through the next part of this, if there's any nonsense and ego and you know, craziness in there, that's going to be seen then too. So trust the prayer and write what comes. Trust the prayer and write what comes. I am fortunate. God has given me a very long and lengthy fourth column. I've never been short on where I'm at fault. I'm blessed. I've been blessed that way for the entire, you know, bit of my experience. Doesn't mean that I don't still need a sponsor to show me the other things that I'm totally not seeing, because there is all of that too. I had a phone call with him on the way over here, you know, to be reminded of those things, you know. So I write them down, right? Though the situation may not be entirely our fault, we try to disregard the other person entirely. Where am I to blame? Remember, the inventory is mine. It's not the other person's, right? This is my recovery. This is my relationship with God. This is me not going out and doing crazy stuff anymore. This is me not wanting to kill myself anymore. This is me wanting to be a gentleman. This is me wanting to be, a good guy on the roads. This is me who doesn't want to take a drink or get involved with the powders and the other things, right? This is me. Right? This is my inventory. I'm the one who's to get better. This is my roadmap. This is my future. Yeah, let's just deal with this stuff. Right? The inventory is mine, not the other man's. When I saw my faults, I listed them. I placed them before me in black and white. Boom. Right? That's another reason why I like the pen and the paper. Right? We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we're willing to set these matters straight. And then we said the resentment prayer. So one of the things, because my experience was, and is often, that when I'm in resentment inventory, I'm resentful. And when I'm in fear inventory, I'm exceptionally fearful. And when I'm in sex inventory, I kind of get horny. That is my experience. It tends to be what happens. I get, you know, charged, right? Or at least it was the first time around. Definitely was the first time around for sure. And so my sponsor had given me some prayers to correlate with each of these inventories. The resentment prayer is what we said. Dear God, please help me to remember that when Joe offends me, or I think Joe has offended me, please help me to remember that Joe may be spiritually sick just like me. Please help me to be kind, caring, loving, and giving towards Joe, for I would not treat a sick person any other way. God, save me. Show me how I can be helpful. God, save me from being angry. Thy will, not my will, be done. And sometimes I have to say that often, in inventory, not in inventory, all throughout the day, at work, at home, by myself, in the car, watching the news, right? Resentment prayer, resentment prayer, resentment prayer. You know, a simple one may be, this is a sick person, how can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry, thy will be done. It's another one. But I was given a resentment prayer. And it was taken from the paragraphs here, 66 and 67, right? And a little bit, yeah. From 66 to the top two paragraphs of 67 was this other prayer that I'd said. So now, we talked about fear, right? We said we're going to write the little fear here in this column, mm-hmm. right? Where we are aware of fears. And we're going to write a fear inventory. That's my experience, all right? First of all, why do we write a fear inventory? On page 67, towards the bottom, last paragraph, this short word somehow touches every aspect of my life. It is an evil and corroding thread, and the fabric of my existence was shot through with it. Do I believe the trains of fear have circumstance which brought misfortune which we did not deserve? Right? It brings in motion trains of circumstances, right? Like locomotives, like powering full engines is what fear starts loading up into the Finley station, right? And on my tracks, boom, coming through, boom, trains of fear, right? Not just like, you know, it is that corroding thread that once you pull it out, I'm a spineless, nothingless thing, right? But it's affecting everything. And with a drink, I don't see it. But hanging around here with you cats, hanging around with mom and dad, hanging around with the girlfriend, hanging around with the little kid, you know, hanging around driving the streets, hanging around at work, without a drink in me, without anything else in me, yeah, I was fully starting to get aware of the fear. Without a drink in me, oof. It's a rough day. Without a drink in me and without a spiritual solution, everything is affecting me. And I start to, and it used to be, you know, I thought you were cheating. Now it's, I know you are. You know, it's craziness. Without a drink in me, it gets worse and worse, the fear. And it is, from a little thread, without a drink in me, it is like a train. With a whole bunch of, you know, boats and cabooses of circumstances that come along with it. You know. So, that's why I feel it's a good idea to write it, right? You know, because I want to be rid of this, right? I do want to be cool. You know, I want to be okay. I want to be a gentleman. You know, I want to be secure. I want to be whole and complete. So, sometimes, on the bottom of page 67, sometimes, top of 68, we think fear ought to be classified with stealing. Seems to do more trouble. Okay. So, one of my sponsors had me write above here, fear equals stealing. Fear equals stealing because it is a conscious decision just like stealing. Remember before, with resentments last week, to the exact extent in which I permit these, do I squander life where I could be at peace? It's telling me, too, that through this statement, I also am making a choice to live in fear. Now, when I came in, That's not true. I was afraid of everything. I had no power over any of it. You know, frankly, what I needed everybody to do was just change, right? You know, and follow the script, right? Follow the script. Here's the word. Just tell me you like me. Tell me you think I'm cool. Tell me you really, really mean it. You know, call me up tomorrow. Remind me of it. Great. Tell me I'm a great lover. All that stuff like that. You know, these are the scripts. But when you stop following that script, I got tons of fear. And so, but after going through this, because it was the guy who took me through this process a second time, made it clear to me that fear is a conscious decision. Fear, after having a spiritual experience, after having a fourth and a fifth step experience, or maybe even having a little bit of juice with this power, some things start to, you know, feel better. Some things start to go away. Sometimes, whatever. If you're in a fear, you're choosing to live in it. Unless you're a kleptomaniac, then that thing doesn't equal. Fear doesn't equal stealing if you're a kleptomaniac, right? Because you are powerless over that and you need help with that. But I'm making a conscious decision. There's the Tylenol. $10, you kidding me? I remember when it was $6. You know, this is insane. It's a stupid little bottle now. It used to be like a big, thick bottle. What are these guys, crazy? Screw Walmart. Boom. Psst. Right? Conscious decision. Conscious decision to steal. If I'm living in the fear, I'm making a conscious decision to live and stay in the fear. I'll tell you what. I'll skip to the end. Because he says it later on with a couple other 199 people. Just to the extent that we do as we think God would have us and humbly rely upon him, does he enable us to match calamity and serenity? So if I just try to do some things differently, if I'm in early recovery, it's really simple. If I'm in late recovery, it's really simple for me. Pick up a pen, pick up a paper, start writing some inventory. Right? Just start whatever. Maybe it's make some amends. Maybe it's help the new guy. You know, for me, you know, we're in Alcoholics Anonymous. Let's keep it really simple as to figuring what the role God assigns for me is. Right? But if I just am... you know, if I just do what I think this thing might want me to do, and at this point in the game, it's right inventory, you know, and humbly, you know, say, just help me with this. Does he allow me to match the sickness, the craziness, the fear, the delusion, and everything else with serenity to the exact extent in which I allow it? Right? That's what it's saying. So, fear is a conscious decision. If you're in it right now, write some inventory, ask God to remove it, share it with another person, be free. Take some actions. It's telling me I have to take some actions. All right, so, so on page 68 is the how. Right? Why we do it? How do we do it? 68. It says we review our fears thoroughly. We put them down on paper. So I got one here. It's probably not a good one. Fear of failure at business, job, vocation. Right? That's my fear. Right? I'm writing down my fear. It then says we ask ourselves, self, why do you have this fear? Okay. Well, I don't have a college degree. My girlfriend criticizes my jobs. I have worked in many fields, but not any one job as a steady one. My PR business is suffering. People haven't paid me for the work that I've completed. I would like some money, stability, to get out of debt and provide for a family. I do not know exactly what my calling in life is. I have no health benefits. Sometimes I'm a failure at many things. Sometimes I feel like I am too old to start something new, to go to school, to go to work, or to try my dreams. I don't want to go back to retail. I feel like a failure to myself, my family, and my friends. Now, these are the reasons why I have this fear of failure at business and these other things, right? It then says, and in this case, I listed them down like this, okay? All right. In this case, I listed them down like this. And then it says here, wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? So my sponsor asked me to make a new column. And this answer on each one, did self-reliance fail you? Yes or no? Did self-reliance fail you? Well, with my failure at business, job, and vocation, well, you heard some of that stuff, right? Like, right? Yeah. Self-reliance failed me. If self-reliance was working, I'd have a college degree. If self-reliance was working, I'd probably have some health benefits. If self-reliance was working, I'd probably collect that money that you owed me. If self-reliance was working, I'd be happy with who the heck I am. Self-reliance failed me in this regard. All right? In my inventory, yes was the answer to every single one. Doesn't have to be for yours, but that's the situation for mine. Self-reliance ultimately fails me. Then I write what this affects in me. Same thing, same definitions. Pocketbook, self-esteem, ambition, security, pride, right? Does my failure at business affect my pocketbook? Mm-hmm. My fear of absolutely. What kind of crazy things do I do out of that? Right? I might go out. You know what I might do? I might go out and buy an expensive suit so that when you go on an interview, you think I got my stuff together, you think I'm pretty cool and sharp and whatever, and then you'll hire me. Right? My fear of failure gets me to go to Banana Republic and charge even more money on my credit card. Right? Or Sears or wherever the heck. Right? I'm opposed nor support any causes, right? Wherever we go, we go. Right? Does it affect my personal relations? Well, yeah, right? Because how much it sucks to run into somebody you know? How you doing? What are you up to? Where you working now? Where you living? That sucks. It sucks when you're full of fear. It sucks when you're an alcoholic living in the fear and the delusion and everything else to have to answer, between jobs or, I'm still, stocking shoes at the shoe store. Oh, didn't you do that when you were 17? Yeah, well, I'm back. I came back, What are you doing? Delivering papers. What are you doing? Oh, you got a PR business. Oh, yeah, great. How's it going? Oh, yeah, where's your office? Well, it's in my girlfriend's, it's in the bedroom that the two of us sleep in at the condo. That's hers. Those questions suck. Yeah, it affects my personal relations. It affects my pride because you're going to think I'm a loser too when you find out that I'm not getting paid or when you find out that, my office has now been reduced to somebody else's house, right? It affects my security. What do I need to be okay? Well, the honest is, I need you to think I'm cool. I need you to think that I'm a big shot PR generalist that's going to get you in the New York Times. I need you to think that way in order to be okay. That's the truth. Ambition. I told you, I want Steve and Elise Keaton, right? Or in this case, I want to be Steve and Elise Keaton, and I want that white fence, and I want the girl to always be loving me no matter what, and the kids, and they're all getting along, and, eight is enough, and we're all having a good time, and that's what I need. That's what I need to be okay. I need a retirement plan, 401k, all these other things in order to be okay. Sex relations. Well, you heard that my girlfriend was criticizing my job, so guess what? That loser shows up to the bedroom, and that loser wakes up in bed. That loser takes her out on a date. That loser takes her to church. That loser shows up at her father's house for her father's birthday. And it's not that I'm a loser. It's the story that I tell. I have myself set up. You're a loser. You're no good. You suck. Your job's not good enough. Despite the fact that I read a PR dummies book and the next day I built a business, right? But that's not the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is you're a loser. The truth of the matter is you're pusillanimous. You know, you're a coward. You don't even have the guts to go ask them for your money. You don't even know how to work an Excel spreadsheet. You're a loser. Yeah, it affects my sex relations for sure, all the time. I can see it. It sucks, but it's true. My self-esteem? Well, I just told you I'm a loser. So, yeah, this is what it affects in me, right? Again, I'm carefully reviewing this stuff, right? Then what do? It says on page 67, but did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? So now it's telling me again that all of this stuff with the fear and all these other things, I got the ball going. You want to hear how I get the ball going? Drank, smoked, and did drugs on the job. Spoke poorly of my coworker. Disturbed my boss and my coworker's family life. Did non-conference approved stuff while at work. Never had a resume or pursued a career in the past year, and that hurt my girlfriend. I went out and got lottery tickets for the boss and never gave him the winnings. I forgot to I did not put one of the, like, I managed a store. I did not put the drop in the bank. I was playing games with the bank. Like, I knew I was getting paid on Friday, so I wouldn't drop Tuesday's drop. I'd keep the cash, I'd go to the bar, and when I got paid Friday, I put it in the bag, and then I put it in the bank. But when I got fired, that bag was out there, and I never made the drop, right? But also, I'm playing game with their money, you know, their interest, their stuff, right? I'm putting in the drop when I think it's a good time. Want to sue one of the companies? Still have some of the other company's materials stole from the Asbury Park Press when you were a paper boy. Showed up drunk a couple of times at work. Took longer in getting things done at work than I said I would get it done. Put this other company in a tough position over my personal disputes. I asked my company, like, my coworker and I have this thing going on. We're working for a charity. He owes me some money for this PR thing that we're doing. Like, he's doing tech, I'm doing, you know, the PR stuff. The money's going through his account. I need this $3,000. He's having some personal situations with it, so I go to the charity. You owe me $3,000. And I get them all involved in this whole... Needless to say, that man, that his wife, my godchild with that man and his wife, don't talk to me anymore as a result of that. He does now. He heard my amends. The rest don't. Spoke poorly of all my jobs before and after and during. Missed a lot of quality time with my family, because when I got sober, I put in 80 hours. Did anybody do that crazy stuff? All of a sudden, you become a workaholic, alcoholic. Now you're a workaholic. Yeah, I did that. You know, I missed Easter to do work. Broke up with my girlfriend because she constantly got on my case about my job, my resume, and my future. Right? I did not give my dream job an actual chance. I did not continue to pursue a degree when I had a total opportunity. I didn't take other jobs because they did a drug test. I did not give invoices in a timely fashion. I did not give or make contracts before I took on a client. A lot of the jobs I had, I internally committed to not making careers out of it. So I go to a job, right, and then I say, they want to promote me. Right, because I worked at Foot Locker. They're like, we want to make you, you know, manager of this location, whatever. Then we want to take you to the Freehold location, this $1 million location. Now you're going to be at, like, you know, $3-4 million. No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm just staying here. I'm going to live around the corner at my parents. I'm going to walk here to this job, and because the story is I'm going to be a famous actor. So I went and did jobs, and I failed to allow myself to even progress in those jobs. Yet, I got a fear of being a loser at my jobs. Right? I'm afraid of being a failure at my jobs, and I'm begging them, please, no, I want you to keep me assistant manager. Like, how crazy. No, 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 I want that, like, you know, $300,000 location. Don't give me the $200,000, right? It would have been more money, all this other stuff. Nope, not doing it. God forbid, because I probably have to tell him that I, you know, had 3 DWIs, I couldn't drive for X amount of months, all this other stuff, but I could have taken a bus. Freehold has a bus there, right? Someone somewhat afraid that God wants me to be a priest. Yeah. So I'm afraid of, you know, I'm afraid of not, you know, like God wants me to do something and I'm ignoring it. Up until recently, I never even asked God what he wants me to do with my life anyhow. It's all been me. So this is how I get the ball rolling, right? With just one particular fear. Fear of being a failure at business, job, vocation. I got fear of marrying my mother, fear of marrying my father, fear of becoming my mother, fear of becoming my father. Fear of what you think of me. Fear of what she thinks of me. Fear of this political organization taking over the world. Fear that I won't be man enough to stand up if this political organization takes over the world. Fear of gold diggers. Right? Because, here, guy, I don't have a pot to piss in, right? But I'm afraid of hooking up with a gold digger woman, right? Like, she's after what I got, right? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But that's me. I'm totally insane. This is an option. Yeah, you know, I can list you all the ones that were gold diggers, right? You know. Meanwhile, I was probably stealing from them. You know what I mean? Crazy. You know? Fear of being cheated on. Fear of not being with a loyal woman. Fear of my father dying. Fear of my mother dying. Fear of large dogs and other animals sometimes. Fear of driving in narrow lanes. Fear of police. Fear of smiling and not showing my teeth. Afraid of something is wrong with me because of my sexual stuff. Fear of not being a good lover. Fear of not being liked or loved by women because of my sex stuff. Fear of having a wife that doesn't get along with or like my family, or vice versa. Fear of not being a good father. Fear of being lied to, especially from women. Fear of losing my faith or my relationship with God. Fear of being used. Fear of marrying my mother or being nagged to death. Fear of not being a man or not being respected as one. Fear of having a loveless or unaffectionate wife or relationship. Fear of not finding a woman who will raise children actively in this particular way that I'd like to do it, or share similar values with me. Fear of being judged for who I am, what I like, and what I want to do. Fear of being a physical threat to others and the harms that I have caused or could cause if I keep on going this way. Fear of not being a good enough provider. Fear of not being attractive to women. Fear of what people think of me. Blah, 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 blah. Mm. Right? I at this point, first time around, 75 to 125, I think, was the count. Tons of fears. Right? Again, there's no fear too silly to go on this inventory. Right? I sometimes, when I was young, had a fear of squirrels. Why? My mother had a fear of squirrels. When my mother would see a squirrel, she'd freak out. So, you know, it's on my list. Now, I want my sponsor to think I'm tough and I'm cool, so I better not talk about the squirrels thing. You know what I mean? You know, but, you know, I'm afraid of driving behind the cars, the trucks, with all the cars on them. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of that. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm afraid of getting behind them. You know, why? Because somebody said that about these accidents with them, they're all going to, I have this thought, they're all going to fall on me. You know, what is the stuff that I do? I race around them, or I stay, like, you know, 30 miles behind them, like, you know, behind them. I do crazy stuff around them. Right. Now, part of my experience has been, because my sponsor had told me a fear prayer, and he said it went like this, and it's on page 68. Dear God, please remove my fear and point me in the direction of what you would have me be. Dear God, please remove my fear and point me in the direction of what you'd have me be. Dear God, please remove my fear and point me in the direction of what you would have me be. It says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. But it's not telling me that in this prayer that I'm all of a sudden going to have courage. That all of a sudden I'm going to be tough. it's not saying that all of a sudden, you know, she is going to be not a gold digger or whatever, right? Or that there's cars are no longer going to be on the road. It's talking about being in a place of being, right? What would you have me be? My God would like me to be trusting. My God would like me to just breathe. My God would like me to see things for what they are and not what I think they are. My God wants me to trust and rely upon Him above all things. There's this reading that I may bring up here. No, it's in my car and that thing went. But it goes something like this. It says, you know, fear not, child. You know, for I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk into the waters, you shall not be drowned. When you walk into the fires, you shall not be burned. When you walk into the roaring waves, you will not be consumed. For I am the Lord your God. I like that saying so much, not because... See, I was a guy who would sit on the sidelines because I trusted God and would say this fear prayer all the time. That's here, dear God, please remove my fear. Dear God, please remove my fear. God, I'm having some fear here. I guess this is my fear. Fear. Somewhere in my head, I had this thought that God was going to make the fire go down so I could walk across it. That God would make the waters still so I can, you know, guide my way easily across it. That God would make the waters less deep or more shallow so that I could, you know, swim across. But according to that statement, he says, when you walk into the fire, I will be with you. When you walk into the storm, I will be there. When you go into this, you will not be consumed. My God is telling me is when you're in it, that's when you experience it. I'm so selfish, I want God to take all of those cars off the road and make all of the lanes wider and all these other things. But that's not what he asked me to do. Point me in the direction of what you'd have me be. Get on the road and drive. You know? Now, my experience is I slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly and still slowly am going in that direction of what he would have me be. While I was writing the fears, sometimes some of the fears got worse, right? Sometimes I avoided Homedale altogether because I was afraid of their police department and stuff like that. When I only had to go from like here to here to the Italian ice place, I would drive 20 minutes around, you know, because Homedale would be on this part of the street for a little bit or whatever the case is. But then sometimes my experience was, and happened to be when my sponsor said, I want you to go out and start speaking, right? He asked me to go out and start sharing from the podium when I was in this inventory. And the day that I was writing about cars in the narrow lanes and this thing with the other cars, I felt it literally falling from me as I wrote it. That some of those fears just went away in the instant. And then in some cases, he wanted me to sit and say, in front of that large dog, God, I am whole and I am complete and I am a child of God. You know, you love me above, you know, you love me with all things, you know. You're going to protect me. You're going to be here with me. Hey, how you doing, puppy? Come on, let's hang out, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the fear of dogs or big dogs, that's gone, right? It's because my God is telling me, when you walk in the fire, I'll be there. When you walk into the raging waters, I will be there. Now, I grab his hand. I said, Daddy, teach me how to swim. Daddy, I don't know how to deal with fire. You know, Daddy, you know, I'm not smart enough for this test or this exam. I'm not experienced enough for these crazy questions that these kids have. Mm-hmm. Give me what it is, you know. I have sponsees that have crazy stuff going on in their lives. I don't know how to help them. God, give me something. Just give me something. And that's the way it kind of works. Gives us time. Sorry, I'm taking up any more time, but I think that's about it, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.